At the end of Birkas HaShachar, we make a number of requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Yehi Raton. One of the requests is, V'loli Dei Nisayon. We ask Hashem to not put us in a situation of a test. A test is something that we know we're going to be faced with in life, but we don't want them. And we ask Hashem each and every day to not put us in a situation like that. We're learning now about the Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu. And according to most opinions, the 10th and final test of Avram was the end of last week's parsha, the climax, Akedas Yitzchak, and his willingness to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even under such extreme circumstances. And it makes sense that that test would be the climax, because what possibly can top that? How could there be anything more difficult in the world than someone being asked to sacrifice his son? However, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that was actually the 9th test. And he says that the 10th test is the beginning of this week's parsha, the purchase of the burial plot for Sari Imenu. Now, in general, when it comes to tests, if you were to take an exam, let's say the SATs, the ACTs, whatever it may be, the tests, of course, the questions get harder as you go on. So obviously, it should be the 10th test of Avram should be much more challenging than the first, and even more challenging than the 9th. So how could it be? How is it possible, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that there's a test, and this test about burying Sari Menu, that that's more challenging than the Akedah? It just doesn't seem to make sense. Which is probably why, according to most opinions, no, that's not the test. The 10th test is the Akedah, and then he goes on with life. So I heard an explanation by Rabbi Yehuda Geffen, it was many years ago, who explained that when a person sacrifices something, when a person gives something their full body, their full effort, every faculty of their mind is invested into something. At the end of the day, when that job is finished, when the task is complete, they expect a celebration. They expect a victory parade. They expect a bit of time to just relax. So, for example, the baseball season just ended. And for the efforts of the Washington Nationals winning the World Series, so they got a parade in Washington, and they were invited to go to the White House. Another example, when a soldier in the Israeli army finished his basic training, so it ends with the tekes at the Kotel, and a joyous celebration. And it's well-deserved, of course, after weeks of hard training and something like a 30-mile, 40-mile hike to finish it off at the end of basic training before they get to the Kotel. So Avraham Avinu just passed the most difficult test of his life. None of us can even comprehend how difficult it must have been. It's honestly painful for me to even think about what it must have been like, and especially for someone who has a child, can't even fathom, you don't even want to put yourself into that mentality of what would I do if Hashem asked me to do that. And yet, Avram was so focused on achieving the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Sefer Aksav HaKabbalah writes that the reason the Malach, by the Akedah, when he had to tell Avram to stop, he said, Avram, Avram, he repeated Avram's name twice. Why? Says Aksav HaKabbalah, because Avram was so focused on his task, on his mission for Hashem, to slaughter Yitzchak, that he literally didn't hear the Malach say Avram the first time. So the Malach would say, Avram, Avram! He had to say it again. He had to get his attention. And for Avraham, there was nothing that was going to veer him from the mission Hashem placed before him. As difficult as it could have been for him, as much as it seemed irrational after being promised that through Yitzchak you will have children like the stars, even though it didn't make sense, as painful as it would be for him, he was willing to do it for Hashem. And after achieving the dveikus in which he did, being willing to sacrifice his son, it seems certainly that he was worthy of a parade, of a tremendous celebration, and minimally some time off, some time to relax, like Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'Shalva, like Yaakov Avinu wanted to just relax. However, for Avraham, as he got home, and you could imagine his excitement after he passed this Nisayon, after he didn't have to go through the Shechita of Yitzchak, coming home, hoping to see Sarah, and to tell her about his glorious achievement, he's told of the news that she passed away. And dealing with the aftermath of finding out that his wife had passed away, after all he had just been through, was the hardest test of his life. That was the greatest nisayon. Imagine what must have been going through his mind. It would seem understandable for Avram to be angry at Hashem, to take out his frustration on Ephron as he tried to cheat him on the purchase of the burial plot. You could imagine him just snapping, either at Ephron, snapping at Akash Baruch Hu and saying, how could he do this to me? After all I did for you, Hashem, how could he do this to me? But he didn't. And Avram took this with full emunah and continued to serve Hashem. A modern day example of this is a story I heard about the father of Rav Asher Weiss. Rav Asher Weiss's father was about 17 years old when he was taken to Auschwitz by the Nazis. And when he was there, he became very close with the Klausenberger Rebbe. And they used to stay together a lot while in Auschwitz, and they used to talk and learning together. And right after liberation, you can imagine that the only thing on the mind of a survivor is to do just that, survive, to take care of their health, to relax. I mean, they certainly earned a lifetime of nuchas hanefesh after what they went through. We obviously, of course, can't imagine what that was like. I can't even fathom an hour in a concentration camp. However, after liberation, the Klausenberger Rebbe asked for volunteers to take care for the dead, because there were corpses of people, of the Jews who were murdered all over the place. And nobody volunteered. Everyone's thinking, like, I have to take care of myself. I can't even stand up. I don't have any energy. Even if I had energy, I need to relax. Look at what I've been through. Think I want to go around and dig holes and find dead bodies and bury them? You crazy? So nobody volunteered except for Asher Weiss's father. The two of them went together. They were given an army jeep and a driver to take them wherever they needed to go. And day and night, for a long time, they rode the fields and gave the people, the Jewish bodies they found, the corpses, a proper kavura. One of the greatest mitzvahs, so a mitzvah of burying a dead body, can't be paid back to you. And when it was over, the Klausenberger Rebbe asked the father of Asher Weiss if he has any special requests, if he wants anything. He said, yes. He says, I want a bracha from you to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. And the Rebbe gave him that bracha and said that his children shall light up the world with the light of Torah. Rav Asher Weiss has a number of brothers, and of course Rav Asher Weiss himself, and each of his brothers are huge Talmidei Chachamim who do exactly that, who light up the world and fill the world with the light of Torah. And after going through Gehenna in the concentration camp, he was willing to do even more. When you wanted to relax, when you think like, okay, I definitely earned it, to get up and to push even further, to bury those who needed burial. Now, hopefully none of us will ever have to endure any nisayon, even close to that of Avram or the Holocaust survivors. But on our level, whatever it is Hashem puts us through, we'll likely feel at many points in our life, that we deserve a break or a parade for whatever accomplishments we'll have achieved. But that might not happen. We might not get that vacation. Things might not go so well for us. I have a student who struggles with keeping Shabbos. And overall, he does keep Shabbos, but there are a number of weeks, sometimes he has certain streaks where he doesn't keep Shabbos. And around Sukkot time, I was pretty worried because it's a lot, like 3 out of 4 days in a row are days where you can't do any muktzah or malacha. And he mamish kept them all. And I was very proud of him. And he said to me, he said, like, Hashem better treat me good. Hashem better treat me well. And I said that I hope he does. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean he's not proud of you. Just because we go through nisayon after we feel we deserve something good, that's not Hashem saying he's upset at us. It's Hashem saying, you know, I have trust and I have faith that you could overcome this as well. And he still is very, very proud of what we're able to accomplish. And each and every one of us, when we go through those nisayonos in life, of achieving something and feeling we deserve the best, we deserve to relax, we deserve the schar, we deserve good things to happen to us, We should be steadfast in our emunah to serve Hashem through those times after we achieve something, but even more so, lo aleinu, through the worst times, through times when we go through difficult things, even after we feel we deserve better. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the person who knows what we're capable of. And even though sometimes we feel we deserve better, Hashem knows the truth, and we're able, Be'ezer Hashem, to overcome these things, to be able to serve Hashem with a full heart, no matter what it is, because nothing we could do could top the Akedah. And right after the Akedah, he had the hardest test of his life, to continue to face Nisyonos. And that's what we're going to have in our life. Our entire life is going to be filled with this. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be able to overcome each and every Nisyon we face.